Honey, I'm going out. I'll be back in a couple hours.
You play Farmville and call yourself a gamer.
You said awesome, and I said I hate it.
Okay, so here we go. This is where the extended knowledge comes in.
Don't mind me. I'm just staring at a wall somewhere.
Can anyone afford Benedict Cumberbatch?
That's surprising.
I don't think a human could make those sounds.
Yeah, well, you can do it, though, can't you?
Yeah, I get it.
Hi, I'm Dean.
And I'm Paul Dekai.
What?
Paul Dekai? No.
You know the character Mordecai?
Yeah, I get that. It's just... No.
Shall we go again?
Yeah, let's just move through. Anyways, and I'm Jason. Welcome to Nerds Before Birds, the podcast where you'll find reviews, rankings, and general discussion on all things pop culture. This week, we're going to have a look at the 2012 film, The Cabin in the Woods, directed by Drew Goddard and starring Kristen Connolly and Chris Hemsworth.
Who's that?
It was made in 2009, but due to the bankruptcy of MGM, wasn't released until 2012.
Wait, what?
The film follows five.
Wow.
Yeah. That's it got like lost, and it was almost at one point they didn't think that they were actually going to release it. And Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon, because they co-wrote it, didn't think that they'd almost lost hope in the whole film until Lionsgate got on board and actually got it going. So that's where it actually finally got its release in 2012, which is kind of good because it came after Thor, after he'd been cast as Thor, and after the first Thor movie had come out in 2011.
And Red Dawn.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thor was 2012. Yes. Oh, no, 2011. Yeah.
2012 was the Avengers. So did this come out after the Avengers? Was,
I don't know what month it actually came out. But
but it was a Thursday.
At least it was after Thor. So
yeah.
Anyways, the film follows five friends who decide to stay in a cabin in the woods. And as you know, nothing bad ever happens in creepy cabins in the woods in movies.
In a recent survey, cabins in abandoned woods did rank as one of the top five safest places to be.
Oh well, they should. They should for sure. Except for in movies like Evil Dead and this.
They're literally the worst place to be in any movie.
Yeah. Ever. If you find yourself in a movie, then don't go to the woods.
Don't go to the cabin in the woods. That's probably some really
this
good...
This PSA brought to you by...
And that's pretty much summing up our podcast, because we just want to warn people, if they find themselves in a movie, don't stay in the cabin in the woods, because it is not a safe place.
Definitely.
But anyways, back to this movie.
Now that that's out of the way, what do you guys think of Voltron Season 3?
Do you think this movie soars like an eagle, or does it flip the bird? Dean, what do you think?
I think, okay, I know, champion. I think it would have been cooler with a merman. No, all right, I absolutely love this. It was awesome. It was very cool. Totally not the kind of movie that it wasn't the movie I was expecting at all. Like, I know that I totally understand why, Jason, you were trying to get us to watch this for ages, and you were so careful with what you said about it.
Yeah.
And so because of that, and because I never had even seen a trailer or anything, and so I didn't know what to expect, and I was blown away. I just got, I loved it.
I'd seen a trailer before I watched the movie, and I kind of wish I hadn't, because it gave a little bit too much away for me to really enjoy the movie. And I wish I was in your shoes in that kind of way. I wish that I hadn't seen anything before I went in and watched the movie.
Was it the first trailer that you saw? Because I just watched it, and because I wanted to see what it actually gave away, kind of thing.
It might have been one of the later trailers where it was like a little bit more. Like the final trailer, so that they have. What about you, Paul? Did you like this movie? Do you think it soars like an eagle?
Yeah. Like the myriad of weird winged things. It soars.
Don't give away spoilers for anyone listening that hasn't seen this movie.
A plane.
Of course.
Yeah. No, it soared. Yeah. It was cool. Like, I'm not a horror guy. Don't look at Patreon rewards. Just send us money. Don't sign up for the Patreon.
So Paul, you've just finished watching this movie, right?
Not 10 minutes ago.
Yeah. And so you're at home on your own watching this movie right now, hey?
Okay.
You were.
So here's where it gets interesting. I come home. I know I have to watch this. And like the motion light isn't on when I walk down the path to my door.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I open up. It's all dark. I'm like, oh, no. No one's home.
Yeah.
So then I was like, every light on, sit down, start watching it. My housemate comes home maybe half an hour into it.
Yeah.
But he just like, he must have just banged the fence or whatever. So yeah, I'm watching this movie and the fence bangs behind us. I'm like, what's that?
Yeah, yeah.
The lights are going off.
I was on edge.
Is that your housemate in the room with you right now behind you? Is that your housemate?
Shut up. I can see my monitor, you plum.
What?
Oh,
no,
man.
But there's a guy behind you. In the Can't you see that in your
video?
Do
you know I can see?
Right. Is that your housemate? What's up with his face?
He's been dead for 60 years.
James, is that you?
What?
You don't actually have a housemate called James. It's the old butler that lived there 100 years ago.
I never said he was alive.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I have two currently.
Yeah. Cool.
Wow.
Cool. And one of them's behind you right now.
Nah, he's under the bed.
I didn't know your roommate was a zombie redneck torture member.
Yeah. What did you think of this movie, Paul? Did you like it? Like, because you're not into horror. Did it, like, scare the crap out of you? Or, like...
It didn't scare the crap out of me. One of the best sort of pieces of advice that I got from my girlfriend, she said it is a movie that makes fun of all the horror tropes.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know what those tropes are, you're not going to get as scared. So I haven't seen horrors to know the horror tropes, but I have seen Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, all of them. And they pretty much rotate through all of the horror tropes.
Yeah.
So,
and you're like, and I'm rattled to the core from those Simpsons episodes.
Hey, man, there's one or two that are weird. But yeah, I was scared a few times in that it was just, I wasn't expecting it. I didn't see certain things coming. And then, but I think the comedy that they had in the movie was enough to like, calm you down.
Yeah.
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 I kind of put this in the same boat as like Shaun of the Dead in the way that because the characters are almost having fun and they're almost like there's a lot of jokes happening. It doesn't make the movie as intense. And every moment that happens in the movie is like that's like either really intense is followed very quickly after with like a nice joke or something like that. And it really lightens the mood.
Yeah.
And I felt that with Shaun of the Dead, you can never really find that a scary movie. Mm-hmm. And not many people would find that a scary movie, to be honest. But it is still a horror comedy.
Yeah, there are some very scary moments in Shaun of the Dead. But then, you're totally right. I think this is probably the closest that American cinema would get to a Shaun of the Dead movie kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I
very well done.
Like,
you liked
you know,
it?
I'm not going to rush and watch it again, probably ever. But, you know, I was a little on edge. I was watching it on the train yesterday. It was actually pretty cool because it was Halloween. I'm on a train. I'm like, oh, a little unnerved. It was the right amount, even though nothing had happened.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I was like a little creeped out and it was all right. I didn't mind it.
Yeah.
Except for that
fair enough.
Crazy jump scare with the opening title.
Yeah. Scared the crap out of it.
It's so funny because I read a bit of trivia where Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon said that they basically wanted people to feel confused going into the movie because it started off in that facility until the opening title came up because they'd be like, did I walk into the wrong cinema kind of thing? Because you're expecting, you know, the cabin in the woods.
They're talking about tests and they're like, we haven't failed since 97.
Yeah.
You're like,
exactly.
I'll be honest, I double checked what I downloaded of Stan. I was hang on a sec. What have I done? Oh, no, we're good. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They got me.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I checked my iTunes. Like, did I play the wrong thing? What's going on?
Yeah.
I had no idea Bradley Whitford was in this. So
yeah. I paused that. I'm like, oh, is he the same last name as me? No.
No.
I love that feature on Google, what do you call it? On YouTube on and that, where movies. It comes up when you hire them and you're watching it in the YouTube app, and it actually, if you pause it, it'll come up with the name of the person.
Yeah, no way.
Whoever's on the thing. Yeah, it's actually really cool. It's
and you
probably
wouldn't
get it on iTunes or that, but yeah, it comes through on what do you call it?
$1 trillion company.
Yeah.
Can't
yeah,
do
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. I really liked Bradley Whitford in another horror movie, Get Out, that
came out
last year. And in a way, that's kind of like this in the way that it's a little bit, it could be almost a comedy. Probably not as much as this, but it's a satirical commentary on American society kind of thing. Whereas this is a satirical commentary on horror movies as a whole. I really enjoy this movie, and I've already told you guys that I really enjoy this movie. I didn't enjoy it as much because I watched it again in preparation for this podcast. Mm. I didn't think it was as good, and I'd forgotten how actually unnerving some of the early scenes are. Because I'd sort of proposed it as thinking, like, you know, it'd be a good movie to watch around Halloween because, mm-hmm. Paul, you wouldn't get as scared with this movie. But I'm like, wait, there's actually some pretty full-on stuff in this that I'd completely forgotten
about. Yeah,
there's some gnarly things. Although, can I do a brief spoiler?
Yeah, I think,
or
look.
Can we just get into it? It's a movie from 6 years ago.
Yeah, it is from 6 years ago. We're going to go into spoilers. Overall, we all liked it, right?
Yes.
Different varying levels of liking it. But yeah, we will go into spoiler territory. I would, if you like horror movies and you like movies that are, I suppose it's very violent, and be warned about that. If you like movies that kind of send up the tropes of horror movies, you'd enjoy this movie. So go out and watch it. Come back, listen to the rest of this podcast.
Go out and watch it. It's on Stan.
Yeah, well, okay.
Go in and watch it.
Go in and watch it.
Go in and watch it, yeah. Beautiful. Netflix and chill. That's
take your partner on a beautiful night
in,
you know, delivery, food.
If your partner likes horror movies.
Even if they don't, honestly. Just try to sell it as something else. Say no.
You know
what?
Yes. If you do have a partner who doesn't like horror, my girlfriend's in that exact same state. She loves horror, like adores it. I hate it.
Are you like RSVPing your girlfriend right now?
Like, no. Hear me out.
My girlfriend really loves horror movies. If there's a guy out there for my girlfriend, I'd really like
propositioning off my girlfriend.
Well, no, you just did. You like, she's in this very same.
She likes long walks on the beach. No. No. If I can sit through this, then most semi scared partners can sit through it.
Yeah.
That's an endorsement. I'm
interesting.
A man baby when it comes to this stuff. And I didn't mind it.
And other things as well, but yeah.
All right. You know what? You're coming in really hot tonight, mate. I watch a horror for you. I'm out of my comfort zone.
Dude.
And you're bloody poking jokes at me. Screw you guys.
Look, we have to wait for you to finish watching this
there's
movie.
There's other unsuccessful podcasts I can be on.
Yeah, we had to wait for you to finish watching this movie because, like, you know,
goodness.
You can't watch it a week ago.
Well, we all got to work tomorrow, man.
I'm busy.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah.
Fair busy guy.
Yeah.
Doing
too busy to watch
nothing.
Movie. yeah.
Overtime.
Twitch.
Anyways,
TV.
So we got the jump scare title. It opens on the facility. We're going to go into spoilers now. Anyone listening, we've already sort of covered that. But
excellent.
Yeah. So when they started to ramp up what was going on, what was going through your head, Paul, I want to hear mainly. When they started to like drop little hints as to what's going on, what did you initially think was the whole mystery?
It lulled me into a false sense of security.
Yeah.
Because they're doing all these jokes. It was pretty funny. That opening like 35, 40 minutes, it's really entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And in my head, I'm like, how bad can it be?
Yeah.
Very.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very is the answer to that question. But then it became intriguing. It was like, it took away from the uneasiness I would have felt if they just stayed on the scenes. The scenes where they're in the cellar looking at all of the different ways they can summon a monster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If they just stayed there and started the music, that would have got me. But because they kept going back and forth, it's like, it was more interesting than it was scary.
Yeah.
Right.
But still scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of tones down the whole drama and the whole, the intenseness of the scenes, because it's got that really satirical, lighthearted feel when it cuts to those scenes in the facility where they're watching on all the CCTV screens and stuff. And
I laughed so hard when Chris Hemsworth and his girlfriend are going to like have sex in the forest and like, come on, babe, it's romantic. We're completely alone. And then it's just like 50 people watching.
Yeah. 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 Right. Yeah. Yeah. I was like, it's so funny. And it's all guys as well.
Yeah.
Did you notice that? Like it's a so whole gross. Heap of guys, like CEO guys.
Your basic human needs disgust me.
Yeah. What about you, Dean? What were you thinking? What was going through your head early on when they were starting to hint as to what's going on?
I'm totally with Paul on this. I was all over the place. I had no idea what was going on. I had a million theories going through my head. I was like, what is this? Is this like just a reality show? Has humanity got to the point where they like watching people getting killed on TV?
Yeah.
And I was like, or is this like, are they like angels or demons kind of like in the afterlife watching people get killed? Is like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, right. I was like, you're going right deep.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out. I had no idea.
It intrigued me.
It really did. Yeah. And then I think I started getting a better idea of what was going on about that time, like the scene in the forest with Chris Hemsworth and the other girl, like when they're watching and then there's this like the scene at Cusper's like, you guys are gross. Why are you like, watching? And then they're like, we're not the only ones watching. Like, do you realize what's at stake here? Kind of thing. And then that's where it started clicking for me. Like what could actually be going on here? Kind of thing. That like the fate of the universe.
I remember the first time I watched it, I actually was getting like major Hostel vibes. And I was thinking that it was like, like some rich socialites that were setting up this whole thing. They're like betting and watching it in some sick, sadistic fashion sort of thing.
Like a horror version of Rat Race or something.
I was going to say Rat Race.
I'm sorry, I bet you do it.
Bathtub, Pepto-Bismol, rub my buttocks.
I haven't seen Rat Race in years.
Such a good movie.
It's so amazing.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to Cannonball Run, which is another one of those kind Burt of movies. Reynolds. Yeah, yeah, and that. Jackie Hell Chan as well. You've seen Cannonball Run. I'm surprised.
It's Cars and Burt Reynolds.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Yeah, you should watch that. So what do you think, though, with it? It sort of it manages to subvert heaps of expectations as to what's going on because you're constantly guessing as to what is happening,
but
then it also goes into all the horror tropes and it kind of plays fun with them, like in a satire kind of way, but then it also honors them in a kind of like a fanboy kind of way, and it sort of walks that fine line. Do you think it does it well in a way of sort of celebrating horror, but then also ripping it off a little bit?
Yeah, so for me, this is a movie similar to, again, to Shaun of the Dead, that I would sell to people as one of those like, oh, if you're not super into horror, if you don't like being scared, but you do want to watch a horror movie and not get super scared or not be
wet.
Yeah, if you want to get your feet wet and not come out like super horrified by the end of it, then watch this, because you're going to get scared, but then you're not going to be scared at the end of the film kind of thing. Yeah, like by the end of it, everything's going to tie together in a fun way. The stakes seem high and then all of a sudden they get cut down through like the monitors and the watching and everything. And then, so I would say that they made like the balance They pulled off the balance really well with this.
And then you get to the end of the movie and the stakes are
so high that it's ridiculous.
As high as they could ever be. And then it just ends.
Oh,
it's one of the few movies where it actually is the end of the world, which is kind of nice. I like that change of things.
It's kind of like they lower the stakes.
Just shoot a stoner.
They lower the stakes by raising them to a point that's so high that it's ridiculous. And then you just like completely detach from it.
That would sense. Yeah, for sure.
Stuff it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So this is just ridiculous now.
The end of the movie reminded me a lot of This Is the End.
Yes.
Ah, yes.
Not the Cornetto, This Is the World's End, the American one. Because, you know, it's like the one with Jonah Hill, Seth Rogen.
Oh, This Is the End. Yeah, Franco. Yeah. There's been a bunch of
those. But they're
also
stuck in a house for the whole movie as well.
Yeah.
Think of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because like, it's fully very, the like, end of the world in that
demonic
one
demonic and end of the worldy, but it's so full on. You're like, okay.
Cabin in the Hollywood.
It's really over the top.
Yeah. One thing that I did laugh, though, and this is like an actual note that I wrote down because I didn't want to forget it. I want someone to overdub the main like zombie villain with the voiceover for the main villain in Kung Pao, who also uses like the claw. Like, you know how the zombie guy is throwing half a bear trap at people and pulling them in? Yeah, Wendy. My shirt is black.
I'm a magician.
I just want to see that. I think it'd be really funny. Because he's like killing people and like pulling them in with half a bear trap. And I'm like, he's like the guy from Kung Pao.
That would be hilarious.
That would be funny. Surely no one's done that in 6 years.
Yeah, I don't know. They might have. I know that there's that thing on the Predator where it's I whip my hair back and forth or whip it good. Yeah, with the Predator. It's like throwing the alien around and it's like whip it good.
That's actually so good.
So that's I wouldn't be surprised if that's actually a thing already. what did you guys think of Kristen Connolly as the lead role? She was she played the Virgin in this, and I like the way that they kind of play with
that was her name. Mm-hmm.
The tropes of that was not her name, but that's like the trope of what she sort of symbolized for movies and that she's Dana in this movie, but that's her.
They work with what they got.
Exactly. The Sigourney Weaver quote at the end. I thought she did a great job. I hadn't really I couldn't really remember her from anything else, but she's actually in House of Cards as well. But I can't remember her in House of Cards. Do you remember the guy?
Yeah, spoiler for House of Cards. Peter, the bald guy who gassed himself in the car.
Peter Russo.
Yeah, Peter Russo.
She was his secretary.
Yeah, the one he was having an affair with.
Yeah.
That one, yeah.
Right, that's right.
Not Kate Mara, the other one.
So
many affairs in that show. Man.
Yeah, there's heaps actually in that.
Yeah.
House of Affairs.
But what did you think of her in this? I thought she was pretty good, but
definitely. I think she was my favorite character up until about the midpoint, and then the dynamics of all the characters start to change. And then, so I kind of like noticed like she came off as the most real of all the five main characters kind of thing. And then she kind of stayed that way because I think that's what they play around with a lot with this. Like they have the whole thing about like having the set like kind of scenario, but you have to have the Virgin, you have to have the
sporty
jock,
like the jock,
full,
yeah,
the yeah, athlete, the full, yeah, yeah,
the scholar,
so
they
the
take whore. These, yeah,
yeah,
whore?
They take the whore, yeah,
yeah. That's what one of them that they had. Yeah,
I didn't want to be mean.
And I like the fact that early on in the movie, like it's something that I noticed from watching it the other night. Early on in the movie, they initially throw out the trope of Chris Hemsworth being the jock.
Yes.
Because there is the whole psychology books and all those those things. Yeah. And he's like a psychology major or something like that, or I can't even remember what major he is. Mm-hmm. But it clearly defines him as a character that doesn't fit into that stereotype until they get to the house and they're like drugging him and everything like that. So he does fully morph into that stereotype.
Yeah.
They like do he's it calling too. His friend an egghead.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
you have a scholarship.
The egghead who he initially in that first scene says is the best player on the team in the like in college, you know, so the egghead is also a jock kind of thing. So like they do that with all the characters at the start. They make them, they represent them as real people, not just stereotypes. And then throughout the film, they become stereotypes except for the fool.
The weed guy.
The weed guy,
the fool,
who started out as a stereotype and then ends up being the most real character in the end, I thought.
I don't know if you guys have perused the trivia of this movie, but there was one piece about him that I thought was amazing. So in the scene where they all go and have a swim, he was the only character to not go in the water because the actual actor was so insanely jacked that if he was to be seen without his shirt on, it would just ruin the whole the character. They called him like, he looked like the muscly Jesus.
Yes.
I was like, he just has to keep his clothes on. They've got to be super baggy because in reality, he is a ripped individual.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was it. They had to give him heaps of baggy clothes, which is something that I have struggled with in real life. I have to wear a lot of baggy clothes because people just don't realize how ripped I am. Yeah, that's why.
Do they make you look taller as well? Is that it?
Yeah, that's it. That's why I have I have to actually walk around on my knees all the time as well. So yeah.
Sorry, this is what happens when we do a late podcast.
Yeah,
just exactly. Just in hell, dude.
There's no filter
we're all
on
friends here, mate.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting trivia about him that he was like so ripped that they wouldn't believe it. What do you guys think of Chris Hemsworth's big heroic moment in the middle of, or like it's about an hour into the film and we are into spoiler territory.
Yes.
And like, I remember it's happening and I remember like, it's one of the things that I seen in the trailer that was like really annoying because he gets on the that's in the trailer. So I was like really annoyed by because I knew exactly where that was headed. And in a way you kind of know it's headed that way because you've seen the eagle in the very beginning. But I love how they like play it up and they like really set it up. So he's
the
like
music,
gonna do
everything.
Yeah, the music's all heroic. It's like
brutally dies.
I completely forgot about that eagle, like the running into the fence.
Bird.
I completely completely forgot about it at that point just because so much else was going on. And I hadn't seen a trailer, so when that happened, it legitimately surprised me. And
really?
It was probably my favorite death of the whole film because of it.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, there are so many cool deaths in this film, but that was up there, definitely.
Yeah, I reckon it's my favorite death too because he just seems to endlessly fall.
Yes!
And it's like so brutal because you're just hearing him go.
The VFX looked awesome on that.
Yes.
That looked really good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because when they did the bird scene, in my head, I'm like, oh, that's a really cool way to tell a story. It looks like Assassin's Creed. Oh, it's dead.
Yeah.
That was my first clue.
Yeah.
Well, I
You're
started
like,
thinking,
oh,
yeah.
This is different.
I started getting like the island vibes at that point as well.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, that's true.
Like, obviously, and then, they realize something is happening here that's just messed up. And it's like, maybe they are clones. I don't know. Who knows?
It's a lottery you don't want to win.
Oh, yeah.
No, not at all. What about you? What was your favorite death, Paul?
Okay. Can I count like multi-kills?
Because
in all honesty, here's what's crazy.
The elevator.
The scene where there's the elevators,
Yeah.
And the soldiers rock up. And then they're like, they're looking on the thing, and there's that big old red button that's like system purge that is there for reasons.
I was thinking that. It was like, who put in the purge button? Like, it's like, is operational health and safety there? They're like, you know what? We're going to need a purge button because there's going to be one day that one of these sacrifices is going to need to use it. And it's just, it's... let's just make it nice and big and red and just to be safe.
Label it correctly.
Say purge.
Don't have any like safety switch or anything
think
around
about
there.
That area. That is just an elevator bank and there's a dude there guarding it.
Slightly convenient.
Just like some low-level security guard also has a button that can just release everything.
Also, the guy that the security guard at the elevator... who, like, you know, originally, like, initially is holding them at gunpoint, gets grabbed by the ankle, like, the ankle by the arm.
Yeah. By the zombie
convenience.
Arm.
So great.
Yeah, amazing. And then he, like, the guy, like, rams him up against the wall and he, like, dies instantly
you know, from a headbutt.
Like,
from,
the like, stoner is, like, basically he's, like, he's gone through, like, everything. He's been, like, attacked by the zombie family. He's been, like, cut up. He's been stabbed and everything. He's still going. Like, he's been, like, whatever
he
that
thing
is.
He stabbed him with a trowel. No, that's what happened. He stabbed him with the trowel.
Marty. Oh, really?
Wait. Yeah, that's how we killed the security,
first security guard.
No. Well, maybe afterwards, but initially it's just shoving into a wall.
Oh, yeah, it's just knocking him straight down, like he basically dies straight away.
What a featherweight.
He hits the wall, the back of his head explodes. Yeah. It's weird.
Yeah, basically.
But the scene when all the troops rock up and they open all the doors. What's crazy is I've seen that scene. Years ago with absolutely no context. It was just like, how sick is this? I was like, I thought it was like, is this a game? Is this some kind of like anime? Cause it is so over the top. And then when it started to happen, I'm like, this is it. This is the thing. It's like, remember on VHS
tapes? This is what I've been waiting for. This is my moment. This is my time. You're like just like looking at
it. I know this.
I know this.
But you remember on like old school VHS tapes where they were like, don't pirate it or whatever. And they had scenes from movies throughout. And then, you know, as you get older, you start watching those movies. You're like, from the VHS copyright ad.
Totally
like,
get it.
Back to the Future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Ex-sucking gutter trash.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm trying to remember those old ads, like, because all I can think of is, like, you wouldn't steal a car. You wouldn't steal a handbag.
You wouldn't show the police.
No, this is the ratings ads.
You wouldn't murder his whole family.
Ratings, that's what it was.
It was the ratings ads going through all the different, like, making sure your kids aren't watching R-rated films, that kind of thing.
Yeah, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like people like that aren't in Australia will have no idea what we're talking about.
No, right, not now, at all.
Because like they probably have completely different ads for these things over there.
Oh, definitely.
Not like overseas. But I really liked the Evel Knievel jump going wrong. And I just really thought that was hilarious. But I understand the whole elevator going crazy and, you know, everyone dying because it is
epic.
It is just a very epic moment. And you can overlook the convenient purge button.
Yeah. Well, that annoyed me. I've literally got that in my notes. I'm like, system purge, really? But then you've got to get back into that mindset of they're making fun of everything.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And it's like once you like get that, you're like, I'm okay with this. But at the time, I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah. I think that's that's the almost genius of the whole thing is that you can be in on the joke in a way because it is so ridiculous. And the idea of it like ending with the end of the world is like a joke in itself. It's like hilarious.
It's basically like Joss Whedon sat down one day and thought, what if every horror film was just a simulation to please the devil? Pretty much
technically.
Yeah.
Technically, he sat down for 2 days and thought that. He wrote the script in a weekend.
Three days all up.
Really?
Which is insane. Yeah, yeah, wow. The two of them, apparently they locked themselves in like a motel room or whatever and were like, yep, let's make a script, like write a script. And wow, this is what they came up with.
That's which is incredible. Like, yeah. I have so much respect for the script now.
3 days. There we go. Yeah.
3 days.
They wrote the whole thing in 3 days. Yeah.
Wow.
It was interesting.
Well, you look back through their filmography and damn it, what Drew Goddard and Joss Whedon have such a long working relationship working on things like Buffy
the Vampire and, Slayer.
Yeah. So many things all the way through like
Angel.
Yeah, yeah. And so they clearly write well together. And so I can totally picture them just sitting locking themselves in a room for a weekend and coming out with an awesome script. Like that does actually make sense.
Well, I think the mentality was, I think, because Goddard grew up in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. And he's like, everyone in New Mexico is leading a very normal life, but they're building nukes.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he was like thinking about the desensitization of like the way that they go about their everyday life, that they're actually doing something really horrible kind of thing. I know that even in like it's funny that you mentioned the island before because Michael Bay talked about there's the scene in the island where they're actually opening up one of the embryo kind of things with one of the clones in it. Spoilers for The Island if you haven't seen The Island already.
Who hasn't seen The Island?
Yeah, I mean, The Island's been out for plenty of time. But anyway,
if you haven't seen The Island, go and watch the first Transformers.
Yeah, and there's a few shots from The Island.
You'll see half of The Island.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, there is a scene anyways in the very beginning of that where you see like an embryo, like a not an embryo, it's like a clone being unveiled and like they cut open the whole thing and all the sludge comes out and all that kind of thing. And Michael Bay talked about it, that he wanted them to feel like truckers opening up this thing as if like they just did it every day and they're just like scrubbing down this clone. They're like really rough about their job and just really like shoving it through like a whole factory line kind of thing as if it wasn't even a person. And I feel like that kind of is a very similar representation of what they're going for here, is that they're so like it's just everyday like business as usual kind of thing.
Yeah, and they're so detached.
Yeah, they're very detached because they do it so often. And I think they do that really well. And you've got the character of what's the name of the character? That the new security guy, Truman. He's kind of like the entry into the world by the audience, but even he as a character is a little bit desensitized to the whole thing.
Yeah.
Because he's like, okay, I know what we're called, doing here kind of thing.
I love that he's called Truman in this scenario. Yeah. Like, that is
because I mean
very
it is
clever.
Like the Truman Show. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And I know like Joss Whedon and
he's the one real person in it.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I know Joss Whedon and Drew Goddard also considered themselves basically the Hadley and Citizen roles in the movie because they're like the writers of the whole thing. And that's how they related to those two characters. They basically saw themselves in those two characters, like the main Richard Jenkins and Bradley Whitford. Is it Whitford or Whitford?
Whitford. He's not a Whitford.
He's not a Whitford like yourself, Paul. No. But yeah.
If he was, he would have gotten the job done.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What did you guys think of Richard Jenkins in this? That's one of those two.
Citizen,
Citizen, yeah.
So funny. So good.
Yeah.
He just, but I think it's just like they together, Bradley Whitford and Richard Jenkins managed to have, like they pulled off like the two, you know, bros, just like co-workers so well. Yeah, they bounced off each other chemistry. So well.
Mm-hmm. That was good casting.
Yeah.
Richard Jenkins is such a good actor and he's so underrated, I think. Like I love him in a movie called Let Me In, and it's a remake of Let the Right Get One Out. In. It's a
yeah.
No, he's not in Get Out. But Let Me In is about a Chloe Grace Moretz is a child vampire.
Yeah.
It's another horror movie. And
how does that work?
Yeah. She's a child forever, basically. And Richard Jenkins plays her like father figure, and he's trying to protect her. And he in that movie, he like goes and kills people to bring to her. But they switch around the whole static, like the whole, you know, like when you have like slasher movies and you're really scared for the person, like the victim in the moments.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he gets stuck in the backseat of someone's car about to kill them, and you're scared for him. And it's such an interesting dynamic, because in the movie you're like, oh, I hope he doesn't get caught. I hope he doesn't get caught, because like he's there to actually kill someone, and it completely like changes your perspective. It's so well done. It's a Matt Reeves movie, but just like if you ever get a chance to watch it, or watch the original Let the Right One In, which is I think it's Swedish, but it's really disturbing, but like super well done. And he was in that, but then he's also in another favorite movie of mine called Step Brothers, and he's hilarious.
Oh, yes. He's the doctor. Hey,
he is. He's the dad.
Yeah, he's the
so
dad.
Funny.
I have loved him in everything he's in since seeing him in Burn After Reading, I think is the first thing I saw him in.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And he's so good in that too.
Oh, such a good movie. Go check it out. If you got nothing to do for 2 hours and you want to watch a movie about nothing.
That's a Coen Brothers movie, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so funny.
Is it a Coen Brothers movie?
It is a Coen Brothers movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coen Brothers comedy all the way.
It's so quirky and weird. Brad Pitt is so good in that movie. He's my favorite character in that movie. Yeah. And if anyone's ever seen that movie, they'll know why he's my favorite character in that movie.
I know why. I understand why. Yeah. He's hilarious.
Yeah. He's great.
So good. Yeah.
Anyways, getting back to The Cabin in the Woods, what did you guys think of the eventual and the foreshadowing of the merman when it eventually arrived? Paul, what did you think?
I thought it was great. Yeah. But then it posed more questions than it answered. Because, like, I thought it was hilarious that he gets killed by a merman, and it was really brutal. Love that it, like, dorsals out the blood. Yes. But how would they have tied into the scenario? How would they have gone in? I'm really curious as to how they would have
attacked. Well, in the water. In the water. They would have, like, let him out in the water. Yeah.
Yeah. They would have gone swimming the next day. Or they would have somehow. Oh, they would have somehow.
No, because it had to be sunrise.
Okay, so they would have made the scenario so that they somehow, for some reason, decided to go for a midnight swim or something.
Yeah, midnight swim.
And
they
get attacked. And then they would have mobbed him from the beach.
Yeah, because remember, like they use all the pheromones and stuff to mess around and control the story.
And there might have been multiple mermen that get like released and crawl up the shore, like you know, little tadpoles coming up the shore to eat people. Kind of thing.
The payoff was so good. I loved it.
It is brilliant. Such a good payoff.
Especially because like, I was like, oh, what is the line where he just says like, I'm never going to see merman. I really want to see one. Like,
he had the conch in his hand.
It's
like, oh, but just, you know, be like, you're lucky. Like they're terrifying. The cleanup on them is terrible.
It's revealed as like it emerges from the smoke like a hero. Yeah. And it just like bites the dude's face off.
Yeah.
It was pretty terrifying.
There is a lot of monsters in this movie, and I like it's funny. It's funny because I was talking to Adam the other day, and like you guys obviously know Adam, and anyways.
He's never gonna watch this.
He's never going to watch this movie, but but he said to me, he's like, oh, what's the big evil thing in the movie? And I've gone, everything.
All of them.
Like, all of them, yeah, like, all of them. Like, and he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, all of them. Like, everything you can imagine is the big bad kind of thing for this movie. And it's funny because, like, the betting board kind of has, like, a summary of all the... All
That's
the different
right.
things on there. There's like so many different things on there, like mutants, wraiths, Like, well, I didn't know that was even.
I have a screenshot here,
Jason. Of all of the three of us here, and Dean, I apologize if I'm wrong, but I would say you're like the horror guy. Is that a fair assessment?
Definitely agree. Jason,
I wouldn't say I'm massive, when but I like it.
Well, you've seen more than us. When when you see a board like that, does that trigger like things from other movies? You're like, holy crap, they've got like kind of a thing on a board.
Yeah, there's a few really obvious ones in there, like the Deadites from like the Evil Dead and stuff like that. Jack O'Lantern, not so much. Yeah. What else is there? There's so many.
I hear you. The Doctors. Werewolf, reptilious. Alien Beast, witches, sexy witches. Love that.
Sexy witches. Yeah, which is a thing.
Angry molesting tree. That's what I'm thinking.
That's again from Evil Dead as well.
So funny.
Which is Kevin? Funny that it's
What's
on the
Kevin?
List.
Kevin, that's right.
Oh, what's Kevin is actually from Sin City. So it's Elijah Wood's character from Sin City. Yeah. So that's the really obscure reference there. But that's what that, like, they so just funny. They threw
no
in
one's
there.
Bedded for that one. That's just blank next to it.
No, it's just
It's brilliant.
Yeah. But yeah, like most of them, I think are very like generic kind of things. Like they're not so much like
unicorn
part of like, you know,
what the heck?
Oh man, the unicorn! I was like, that's so funny. It was so funny seeing a unicorn run through because I was sort of, and again, it's kind of like, you know, the chaos and everything that's going on. You have this unicorn run through. And I kept thinking of like the Tom Cruise movie. I think it's Tony Scott that directed it, or maybe it was Ridley Scott. Legend, and it's got like unicorns in it and everything like that too. But it literally, it's not like this. It's not like a unicorn that's going to stab a guy multiple times with its unicorn. What do you call that thing? What is it?
Horn.
Yes. horn. I'm like, with its unicorn, horn. It's going to stab its unicorn.
It's unicorn.
Yeah,
it's unicorn, you know. So it just doesn't seem like very, like unicorn, like it sounds so magical, but if you just say horn on its head, it's not as magical. It doesn't.
The horse's horn.
Especially when it's like a narwhal.
Yeah,
runs you through. That was amazing.
Oh yeah, and so brutal so too, because it just like stabs him a few times as well. Yeah, stop with just
so
one.
So funny. So that's the thing. Yeah. I think this movie, again, very similar to Shaun of the Dead. It does foreshadowing so well, and that I legitimately thought that a whiteboard was just going to be a throwaway gag. It's never going to come back again. But then all of a sudden you get to the end. It's like, oh wow, that was just a list of things that we're going to see in this finale.
Yeah.
Including the unicorn. It's like, this is great. This is brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, it is. It is. And it is a great movie.
The twins, so but probably that
well,
was the one reference
from The Shining, right?
From The Shining.
Yeah. Shining, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
so
you would have known that
ones.
One, Paul. You've seen The Shining.
I did know that one. Yes, I've seen it.
Zombie redneck torture family.
Redneck torture family. Mm-hmm. They're different. They're different. Aren't they?
Yeah. It's like the difference between was it a whale and was a seal and an elephant seal. No, elephant and elephant seal. That's what it was.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. What did you guys think? So there was this really weird thing in the very beginning of the movie where she like kisses the wolf head.
Oh, that was weird.
I was like, finally, what I've always wanted in a movie. No, not really.
Like, sexy taxidermy.
That is the most disgusting thing. It's so gross. I was like, it's so gross. I was like, who the hell thought of this as a thing? Like, what?
Yeah, it's weird.
The hell? Like, I found that really obscure and really kind of like, why is this happening? Like, I got everything else that they did. But that doesn't make sense. Do you get why that even happens?
I think personally it was there to really emphasize the fact that she is going to be like
role.
She's slipping into like that whore role.
Yeah.
That's true.
Man, that feels like a bad thing to say.
Oh, it does.
Yeah.
But it is though, for real.
Yeah. But it is, it's sort of the, because it is the horror trope and it goes into
the
that
dumb
kind
blonde.
Of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that point, it was kind of established that that they were being watched, and the guys, you know, behind the cameras were able to control everything in that room. So I legitimately was terrified that whole scene, because I thought that the wolf was going to come alive and just bite her face off. I was like, oh, this is going to be uneasy. Horrible.
I thought that when I very first watched the movie, but I'd forgotten that I thought that until you just said that. Because so when I first terrified. Watched it, yeah, that's so true. So maybe that's something that they were playing with there. Because like, you're not sure what's actually part of it and what's what's just there as a prop.
Maybe they're going to die now. Yeah. Maybe they won't. That kind of thing. Yeah.
Could like be. I was even waiting for like the wolf's tongue is going to come out. Or the wolf's going to do something.
Oh,
like, it definitely served the purpose of starting to get you a little bit on edge. You're like,
it
on
makes
edge,
you really uncomfortable. That
there was a few other things that I picked up on watching it again this time. And them talking about like poisoning her through her hair dye kind of thing. Just to really mess with her a bit more and stuff like that. And just the way that his weed was meant to be like altered and that, but for some reason, I don't know, like smoking weed's good.
That's what I'm getting from this movie.
It's basically
if you're gonna go on a trip into the cabin, make sure you get
hashtag legalize it.
You'll be the most rational person in a irrational situation.
One of the pieces of trivia again that I saw was his telescopic bong cup. It's an actual thing, but the prototype cost $5,000.
What? Wow.
Yeah.
He's got to be a dealer as well, bong. Then.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, you have to be a dealer to actually earn that kind of money.
It's the only way. Wow.
Basically, yeah.
Do you reckon there was something in the water as well? Like they were drugging them through the water? Because if you think maybe. He was the only one that didn't go for a swim. Could that have been part why he...
But it could have been probably because he was so ripped and they didn't want him to go in the water.
You can't have like this stone of burnout being the most jacked dude there.
So just a coincidental thing that just so happens to add to the plot, which is love
that's
it.
Right.
Brilliant.
What did you guys think of Sigourney Weaver's cameo at the end
when she stepped out? Yep.
Yeah.
The classic.
Did you recognize her voice when she first came on? You did, Paul?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, that's Sigourney Weaver.
Yeah.
But I wasn't sure. I didn't know if she would actually appear.
Yeah.
I thought, because she was also the voice in Jurassic World. And I was like, she's not going to be here. Wasn't she the voice? She was doing some, hang on. No, I'm wrong. I'm thinking of Finding Nemo 2.
Oh, yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I get Jurassic World and Finding Nemo mixed up all the time.
Yeah, I hate it when I get those movies confused. I'm like, I sit my son down and I'm like, let's watch Finding Nemo, and then put on Jurassic World.
Oh, no, I got him again.
I've done it again.
Oh, it started. We got to watch the whole thing now.
Yeah, yeah,
no turning back.
You can't turn it off once
Elmo's
it's begun.
World, but we accidentally watched The Godfather.
Oh, now we got to watch the sequel too.
Exactly.
Because he just doesn't know how it's going to end.
Exactly. And he'll have nightmares if he doesn't see the ending. So we have to stick to it. And it's the same way we made it through all 9 seasons of Walking Dead.
It's only terrifying if you don't finish it.
Yeah, it's only terrifying if you don't finish.
That's right. That's right.
Oh,
the Walking Dead is terrifying if you do finish.
Agreed.
But, yeah. another. Yeah. Which I've finished so far anyways. That's me.
Well done.
I thought it was pretty cool to see her come in at the end. But then it kind of all ends with them choosing not to kill each other,
she
chooses not to kill him, and then the world ends. What do you guys think? Well, obviously, Paul, you think that's selfish. What do you think of that as an ending, as a character motive, like, the characters, and then an ending as a movie kind of thing?
I think I probably actually, had I gone through all that, I probably would have done the same thing. I'd be screw you guys.
Yeah.
That's it. Like, you're all going to hell.
yeah, fair enough.
I know, it's yeah, I probably wouldn't have thought it through very well, but I can totally very much understand where they're coming from. They're very angry, fed up with everything. And yeah,
stuff it, kill them
also,
all.
Also, he was completely, they set, establish him right at the start as a very disenfranchised kind of pothead. Like, he's going on about how society needs to crumble before anything happens. So, completely legitimately, like, they've legitimized his kind of, his choice there to just be like, nah, screw it.
pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
which it does. Yeah.
I think Sione Weaver in it as a cameo is becoming a bit of a trope. Or it just is a trope. It's like, it always happens.
It's almost like
Paul, the movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
that kind of stuff.
I thought you had a question.
But for this, it does, it does work because, again, it's a parody of other horror films and whatnot. Yeah. And so, therefore, get Sione Weaver in. The one that took on Alien. Whatever.
Yeah, fair enough. I know that they wanted to get Jamie Lee Curtis, I think, first up in or someone like that. So they're pretty happy to get. It was always someone that was associated with horror that they wanted to get him. So
because of Halloween.
Sigourney Weaver.
That.
Yeah. Halloween for Jamie Lee Curtis and Sigourney Weaver, obviously, for Alien.
Mm-hmm.
And what else? She's also been in a few other sort of thriller movies.
Ghostbusters?
Well, Ghostbusters. But then, she's also in, what's that, Copycat movie as well. That's not a very popular one, but she's in that as well.
Christmas with the Cranks? Is that?
That was
Jamie Lee Curtis. That was
Christmas. I watched that last year at Christmas. It was
a movie.
It was slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it takes a while to get there. Once it gets there, it's not too bad.
Mm. Yeah, when the final credits roll, it's not too bad.
Whoa. Brutal. But yeah, you're right.
Oh, man.
What do you guys think of this as a directorial debut? Because this is his very first movie that he's actually directed.
Drew Goddard.
Yeah, Drew Goddard. It's his very first movie. Which he's now got in the cinemas at the moment, while we're recording this anyways, his most recent one, which is Bad Times at El Royale.
I so want to see that. Looks great.
I do want to see that too, but I haven't got a chance to actually watch it myself. But what do you guys think of it as a first movie? Does it feel like a first movie?
No.
What are you?
No? Not for me. Yeah. No. Yeah. But here's the thing, I don't know horror, so anyone you talk to, it's like, oh, it's good horror. It's like, oh, it was scary, but I laughed a lot. And you're like, what's wrong with you? But that's it's a genuine thing. So for me, I was uneasy and I thought it did really good, but that doesn't mean that it looked good. For me, I think it did.
I think it is a good movie, even for someone who enjoys horror movies. It's a good movie because of the fact that it is like a satire of horror movies. Like, all good horror movies have some sort of commentary on either horror movies or like society, or, they have something to say that's underneath the surface. Yeah. And you have movies that sort of get into more pop culture streams by doing that really well, like Scream did, and and this actually did when it came out as well. So I think because of that, it is a good movie, and even Get Out to a massive extent is another one that sort of, it steps outside of the people that enjoy horror, and it goes into the more mainstream kind of thing because they're good movies, but then they're also good horror movies at the same time. And that's why I think it is a good movie. But
he's also not a stranger to either the genre or filmmaking in the first place. This is an amazing first try as a director, but he has been a writer for ages, and I totally, because I was looking at his filmography today, I totally understand, Jason, why you go on about this guy, because he's amazing. Like, he wrote Cloverfield and The Martian and all that. And he just, like, so he knows.
Didn't write The Martian.
He wrote the screenplay for them. He wrote the screenplay for The Martian.
He wrote the screenplay for The Martian.
There you go.
Well, the screenplay again. Yeah.
The screenplay for World War Z. All right, let's look at something. Shut up.
He wrote Cloverfield. So there
Lost?
You go.
He did Lost. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
He wrote.
Not really.
Episodes of Lost.
He wrote episodes of Lost.
Buffy.
He wrote a lot of things, and he's produced a lot of things. And it's really interesting to see that he's like. Clearly good mates with Joss Whedon and J.J. Abrams. Yeah. And I feel like...
That's good company to keep.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's going to Star Wars soon.
He's going to direct a Star Wars movie. I was just about to say that.
Space movie. I mean, J.J.'s like, I've got Star Wars, Star Trek. What do you want, mate?
Yeah.
Or an Avengers movie.
He'll probably do like episode 54 or something of Star Wars when it eventually comes out.
Disney will get him to direct
Boba Fett
something.
Heist 2, Electric Boogaloo.
Does everything end in Electric Boogaloo?
Everything has to end in Electric Boogaloo. Yep. If it's a sequel, it's Electric Boogaloo. We should have named the second Nerdy News, Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
No idea what the third one's called. Probably this time with a vengeance.
Sequels, what do you guys think of a sequel for this? I know that Drew Goddard was asked straight after it on preview screening, will there be a sequel? And he was like, have you seen the ending of this movie? But I mean, how do they, hypothetically go for, like, a sequel to this? Because, you know, like, sometimes they do crazy stuff. Mm-hmm. What would you like to see if they actually did go down this
route? We open on Earth 2.
There's a new cabin. It's exactly the same, but it's like state of the art.
But thankfully, there's still.
Really, it's not in the woods this time. It's just down the main street in the middle of the road kind of thing. Yeah.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if it started exactly at the ending? The massive hand comes out, right?
Yeah.
And then it like cuts to this to the Dana and whatever the stoner guy is. And there's like a button next to them that's just like close portal.
Reverse time.
Reverse. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Activate the Omega 13.
Yeah. Right. That'd be a nice. That's a knife. Is that? That's from Galaxy Quest, right?
Yeah.
Omega 13. Yeah. Because that'd be a nice Sigourney Weaver reference as well.
Oh, yeah. Tie that all in there that's as well. Right.
Well done.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, that movie's got like one of the worst dubbed over swear words that I've ever seen in that one scene when she's like, well, screw that. And like, yeah, you can see what her mouth is actually saying. I'm like, it bugs me every time that happens because I'm like, so just why? Why are you doing this? Like, it's such an annoying little thing of mine that I just see it every time. But anyways.
But it's so easy to pick up because like you watch that thing and you're just like, hang on, something was not right back then. Yeah, I don't know what it was, but something was wrong.
Yeah, her lips don't really sync up correctly with what's going on here.
What did she actually say? I'm confused.
Oh,
well, she fish said, that.
Yeah, well, fish. She's like, well, Mr. Falcon, that.
I said Falcon, that.
I said Puck.
Well, Funk, that.
Yeah. Your bar stool.
Yeah. He said, what a filthy bar stool that is. It was a very long sentence that they had turned on.
Well, Monday to Friday, that.
So there's a fair bit of deaths in this. We've got a kill count of 69 in this whole film. Apparently, someone's done the math.
Crazy.
I didn't actually do it, so
perfect.
So give someone else that. But so a little bit more into the story because we've sort of covered it in points, but overall, we all like it. Mm-hmm. But you have the five. cliches enter the cabin. It's being watched by a facility of people. We don't know exactly what they are doing first up, but then they open up a whole heap of monsters onto them, killing them one by one. Eventually, there is two survivors that eventually move down into the facility below, releasing all the monsters, killing everyone in below, and we realize that there is a whole thing going on. There is your face just now. We realize that there is a whole, not conspiracy, but there's a whole cultural thing going on below.
It's
that,
a ritual. There's a whole ritual going on.
Yeah, going on.
They're using
to sacrifice
to facilitate a ritual.
Yeah, yeah. To have human sacrifices to gods that keep them at bay. Mm-hmm. Which the god is actually one of the Titans.
Mondays.
Yeah. You know, the usual ritual sacrifice of a Monday morning.
With a 100% success rate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is it like yearly what they have to do? Is it just once a year for this?
Is it once a year?
Yeah, they say that it's annual, an annual thing. And so then it's like, okay, so I guess.
And even in the betting, they're like, there's always next year.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Nice. And it's like, so they have a year's cleanup and then. Like, what else do they do throughout the year? Are they just, do they go on vacation? Well, do they have like...
If it's a merman, there's a lot of cleaning.
Yeah. I get that. All that blood splatter.
So the hand that actually comes out at the end when they release all the monsters and they choose not to actually fulfill the sacrifice, the hand that comes out at the end is actually the hand of the Greek Titan god Kronos. That's the actual hand that comes out the end.
Right.
And that's what finishes the whole movie with the end of the world actually occurring because they haven't been able to successfully sacrifice the five people.
Yeah.
So it's quite bold, the ending. And we've had two very bold endings in the last two podcasts. Which I actually appreciate. I like these kind of endings where they're not the stereotypical ending. Were you guys happy with how it ended?
Yeah, I was loving it. I thought it was hilarious. Yeah. At that point, I was like, I was just so yay. This is fun.
You cried. you were that happy?
I was,
you're like, yeah, I, the I end was, of the world.
Hercules, Hercules.
Yeah, cool.
It was, I was loving it. I was having a ball by the end of it. And I was like, yep. And like I saw it coming and I was like, this is brilliant. It's got to go this way.
Yeah.
Love it. Maybe I'm just a sadistic bastard that wants the world.
Yeah, maybe.
I thought they were going to kill Sigourney Weaver and her sacrifice was like the sacrifice. She somehow would have fit the mold of a fool. Or it's like she would have stopped him like, you fool, and then they'd kill her.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been, everything would have been chill. And then I was expecting like the two of them to stumble back out of this facility that's just covered in so much blood.
Wait, what happens to all those monsters if, like, you know, they did...
They're out.
They did die, like, they did, you know, kill the fool.
Yeah.
And they still have all those monsters running around upstairs. Like, that's...
I'm sure they'd have, like, a whole cleanup crew. Like, I mean...
They're dead. They're dead, Jason. They're all dead.
That facility is dead. Well, there's the other crews. There's, like, eight other places happening around the world.
That's true.
Yeah.
Send the Kyoto guys
I do like the whole ring thing with the weird defeating the ring girl, basically. And then, like, turn it into a frog. I thought that was pretty funny.
It's like, it ends really happily.
Yeah, it's so funny. Yay! Exactly.
That was funny.
It was awesome. And I want to see those other scenarios more.
Yeah,
that was cool.
It was pretty funny. Like if I had a like sequel or something like that, I'd like to see another scenario play out. But I don't think you could make a sequel to this movie because of the way that it ends, and it kind of ties up everything so neatly, and there's just no reason to make a sequel.
What would you call it if it's not a sequel but it's happening in parallel?
It's kind of, well, spin-off? I know that they did that with, yeah, it's more Vantage of a spin-off, point. Isn't it? Yeah.
Spin-off.
Vantage yeah, Point.
You could do an Australian one and it could be like Shed in the Bush.
A sidequel.
Yeah, Shed in the Bush.
Shed in the Bush.
It's Wolf Creek, basically.
I want a movie. I want a spin-off of The Intern. That's what I want to see.
Oh, he was funny.
Yeah.
I'm an intern.
I'm an intern. I don't get overtime.
I don't get OT. Yeah.
The pot is won by maintenance and split with the intern.
Yes!
Yeah. All right. So that pretty much brings us to the end of this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed the show. If you like the show and you want to contribute to the show financially, you can visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds.
Jace,
you can contribute any amount starting at $1 a month. And that just helps us keep the lights on. What were we going to say?
Well, we didn't do our ratings yet.
We haven't jumped done the gun. Ratings. No, I have jumped the gun. I was just I like trying to wrap it up. It's late.
Yeah, I have one more thing to say.
Yeah, what do you want
to
say?
We don't have to. We don't know. I was just going to ask a question about. Okay, thank you. Right. I'll make it quick. I'm just curious because like we kind of briefly mentioned Chris Hemsworth a bit, but we kind of like only talked about his death scene, and I just kind of curious like to know because. With timelines, if this was filmed, you said it was filmed in 2009 before he was Thor and all that.
Yes.
It would have been pretty much his first big film role. I'm kind of wondering, timeline-wise, was this the movie that
he was
in the first scene of the first Star Trek movie? Yeah, but I wonder if this was the movie that got him the Thor deal because it was written by Joss Whedon. I'm trying to figure out if Joss Whedon was attached as the Avengers director at that time, and he could have put Chris Hemsworth forward as a possible Thor. I wonder if this is the movie that made him.
I don't know.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, technically, I not to rebut you, but that wasn't his big screen debut. Because he also played the character of Kim in Home and Away.
And what a big screen debut that is.
Huge.
It's like, a big,
straight
big
to stardom.
Screen. Dude, big screens weren't invented back then.
I don't know why he left that show. He was a big time guy, and now look at him. Look at him now.
He was on the cover of TV Week.
You know what?
Yeah.
I'm totally forgetting about Dancing with the Stars. Like that is that was his peak.
I did not know he was on Dancing with the Stars.
He won Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
Well, that good was on peak. Him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's where the money for his $9 million mansion currently being built in where is it? Byron Bay.
Oh yeah.
And it looks like a shopping center if you have a look online. It like basically is this massive thing in the middle of, and it's like right next door to Matt Damon's house. so yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah,
I'm
that's where all
week.
The money came moving from in. Was definitely from Home and Away, I think though. Definitely.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what's really funny, right? He did Home and Away and then he did Star Trek and then he did A Perfect Getaway. Which is really funny that he did that movie. Like, have you ever seen A Perfect Getaway? You should watch that, actually. It's a pretty good movie. It's a nice thriller movie done by David Tui, who is one of my favorite directors. He also did Chronicles of Riddick and
Pitch
Black.
Right.
And he did that other movie that we did on the Underrated Sci-Fi's. Disasters in Time, Timescape. That one that you guys were like, what is that movie kind of thing?
This has become, like, we've entered the recurring scene, like the recurring section of the podcast, where Jason just kind of rambles about, like, old crap for a little bit.
Look, A Perfect Getaway is not that old. It's only
like, he'll make a point.
So it's
it'll
not
come back around.
It
like,
will come back
like
around.
It's like a subtle review
come back around.
Within just, a review.
Yeah,
like, let me tell you about Escape from LA.
I can't help that we're on a film review podcast and I reference movies. I'm sorry that.
Please.
You do you, Jason. Yeah. You do you.
You do
yeah,
you, man.
I will do me.
Be your own wind taker.
Yeah. I'll make my own kite fly.
In your baggy shorts.
That's right.
Yeah. But definitely not baggy body. Definitely baggy, not baggy body. So anyways, you should watch A Perfect Getaway. I thought it was interesting that he did Home and Away and then he did A Perfect Getaway. That's all I was really making a point for.
Okay.
Because like it's his like first, well, Star Trek was his first, but then A Perfect Getaway was, he was in that for at least, you know, half of the movie. So
what's it about?
It is about a couple on vacation in Hawaii, and there is a serial killer on the loose, and they think it might belong to their group that they're traveling with. And it's got Timothy Oliphant in it, and it's got Steve Zahn in it.
Oh.
Yeah, and it's got Mila Jovovich. Like,
oh.
And it also has one other actress. What? Mila Jovovich?
Yeah, it's like, oh, I like him, oh, I like him, Mila Jovovich. Oh, no comment. That was the joke.
Yeah. So. And yeah. So, and someone else as well.
Oh, Chris Hemsworth's in it.
Oh.
Yeah, he's in it.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. But yeah, you should watch that movie. It's actually pretty good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sure. What's it called again? Cool.
A Perfect Getaway.
A Perfect Getaway. Awesome. I'll add that to the list.
You
know what?
You recommended us to watch, like you told us to watch Cabin in the Woods for 8.
Yes. You did.
We're going to give you the benefit of the doubt here and say, like, we will actually probably watch this.
Yeah, we will.
Yeah. I like the way that you like, you put the prefix in it and you're like, we were actually...
Yeah,
probably.
We're gonna watch this. Yeah, yeah.
But maybe.
Yeah. I love your face right now. Your facial expression right now. But I'm gonna just listen to the words you're saying, because that's the most important thing right now. The words you're saying. You're gonna watch this movie.
Yes,
I'm 100% gonna sit down and watch this film.
I'm so glad that people that are listening to this cannot see what your face is doing and your head's doing right now. So
I will definitely be watching
this. They will hold you to this.
Once again, Dean with the hand signals that no one can see.
Yep. Yeah. And Paul's got the head movements that nobody can see as well.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway,
podcast about friendship.
Honestly, like though, A Perfect Getaway is one of those movies that lives and dies on the twist. Mm-hmm. And because you guys are never going to watch this movie, I'm just going to spoil the twist for you.
It's already dead for us.
Yeah.
Who is the killer? Spoilers.
Is the getaway perfect?
I'm not going to tell you.
Is it the opposite of a getaway? Does he have to get in?
I'm not going to tell you guys. It's a really good twist. Anybody listening to this that wants to watch this movie, watch the movie. People get mad because they're like, the twist doesn't hold up, but it does. If you
talk to Jason
closely,
about
it
on Facebook,
because
if you don't, we have to.
Yeah, look, somebody out there who's seen this movie, talk to me about it.
Yep. Jason,
the other
Jason.
Two jokers that are on this podcast don't even know anything about movies, so you just ignore them.
You clearly cut up
the other
a bit,
two
yeah,
people
Jace?
On this podcast who potentially might not be here next week.
Yeah. I'll be doing a solo podcast next week, and it'll be all on an escape from LA. That's what it'll be.
It's just Jason. Hi, I'm Jason. And I'm Paul. And I'm Dan. And welcome to Escape from LA.
Yeah, actually, Escape from New York, and then we'll do LA because LA is the sequel. Cool, but you guys knew that, right? You knew
silly
that, right?
Me.
Chase, yeah. Chase, to make you feel a little bit better, I will probably, I'd probably watch A Perfect Getaway over Dragon Ball. How's that?
Oh, why? Oh, no. Don't swing it back on me. I'm having fun.
Let's do that.
Come on,
balancing
Dean.
Out the hate.
Italian? Pick a side. Yeah. Pick a side and stay on it.
I've decided that week, right, instead of watching Dragon Ball Z, we're going to do A Perfect Getaway, and that'll be the movie that me and Dean review. Dean and I are
balls
about
to
come in there.
And if you see the title of that podcast,
I'm talking for Paul right now instead of letting Paul talk.
You guys should watch The Incredibles, just say. Incredibles 2.
What the hell's that?
Yeah.
I bet you it's not.
Yeah.
That was a missed opportunity. It should have been Incredibles T00. Oh.
Nice.
Should have been. Shut up.
Wasn't a missed opportunity.
It's not.
No. Yeah. Apparently that was. Anyway. Shall we finish this up? Let's end this.
Salty end.
I don't know. This is getting like this. Such a salty ending to this.
This movie's killed a lot of people and a friendship.
We'd just be like super salty at the end of this one and just like bye forever.
Whatever. Uninstalled.
Gonna be the next one starts with like people.
The next one starts with like, hi, I'm Dane.
I'm going to be really thankful that people can't see my hand gestures in a minute.
Okay. Hi, I'm Dean, and I'm bored.
And I hate you guys.
I hate you guys. Thanks for listening. Patreon, Facebook, piss off.
Yeah. And I'm out.
All right. I think that really does bring us to the end of this week's episode. Yep. If you like the episode, I'm going to do the plug again because, you know, like.
Jason, whatever. Real quick, yeah. We haven't given it a rating yet.
He kept steamrolling me. Look, I gave it 3.5 out of 5. That's the review from me. You guys don't get to speak anymore. I'm going to just finish this up. If you like the podcast and you want to support the show, visit us at patreon.com/nerdsbeforebirds. You can contribute any amount, starting at $1 a month, and that just helps us to keep the lights on. Next week, there'll be just a solo podcast with me because these two jokers suck.
I'm going to talk about The Bodyguard.
Yeah, I'm going to talk about The Bodyguard, and I'm going to spoil it on Paul, who hasn't seen it yet. Have you seen it all
Why
yet?
Why are you attacking me?
Actually, neither of you guys has seen it yet.
I haven't seen
it. Who the bad guy is in The Bodyguard? You want to know who the bad guy is in The Bodyguard?
No, don't, Jason. Oh, stop here we it. Go. No, look,
here we go.
We'll watch your crap old movies. It's fine.
I just won't listen to the podcast. And anyway,
yeah.
So. No, I'm going to tell you now.
Are we allowed to do that?
What?
What?
Not listen to the podcast.
It's probably no contract.
Don't tell Paul that he can't listen to the podcast. He's the only one that listens now.
Who? Me?
Declan.
What? Yeah, you're the only fan. Anyways, what do you guys give this movie?
He hasn't made it this far.
What do you guys give this movie? How many birds?
Okay. Oh, great. We did get to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's cutting it, but
yeah,
I'm gonna probably give this 4 out of 5. Birds.
Oh wow!
Whoa!
Really? Genuinely enjoyed
you
it.
Really
that much.
Enjoyed
and
it.
I was
yeah, wow. Cool.
I was tossing. I was like, should I give 3.5? Should I give? But I think this is a slightly better movie than like Upgrade, which I gave 3.5 to last week. So
that's wild. Yeah.
You know, wow. I gotta respect that. Four birds.
Yeah, cool. What about you, Paul? What did you think?
Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah, I liked it. It was a good movie.
Birds, you know, birds.
I had fun.
You
know, I was a little scared.
Okay.
Probably three birds.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Moving on. I gave it 3.5. Let's wrap this up.
Yeah, okay, cool. Great.
Jason, where can they find us?
You can find us on Facebook at Nerds Before Birds. You can find us on Instagram at Nerds Before Birds. You can find us on Twitter at Nerds Before Bird.
Singular.
Not birds.
Single bird.
Singular. Yep. Single bird.
Lonely bird.
And yeah. Yeah, on all good podcasting apps. Obviously, you know that because you're listening to on... Wait, what? Words are hard.
I had an app tell me that there was loads of single birds in my area.
Oh. That's our new advertising for this podcast.
Are we on that app, I wonder?
No. Yeah.
I had an app tell me that there's loads of nerds in my area. So.
But I was Googling on how to fix my internet.
Yeah, I think that brings us to the end of this week's show. I hope you enjoyed it. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed it more than I enjoyed it.
Oh, jeez. Oh, salty Jason.
I love salty Jason. It's the best.
It is definitely past his bedtime.
Yeah. All right, land the plane.
All right. Yeah, that's a bye from me.
Bye.
Bye. Seriously, facebook.com/nerdsbeforebirds. Just post a comment for Jason talking about his old movies.
We're worried about him. He really needs
old movies. Isn't that even old?
Okay, bye guys. Have a great week. Love you. Thanks for watching.